Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back. Great second hour ahead on a beautiful Saturday morning in Chicago. It's Inside the Clubhouse. David Haw, Bruce Levine on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7. The score till 11 o'clock. Hoping to connect soon with Matthew Boyd. And Bruce, he has been as consistent. He certainly hasn't had the sterling numbers that Cade Horton has had, but I don't want to take anything away from the consistency that Matthew Boyd has given the Cubs in a season that he's pitched 174 in a third innings, his second highest total ever. And that is the context with which we go into October. How sharp will he be? How much of a toll has that taken? That's a lot of innings.
Well, he'll be the one to tell us that. We'll go straight to the horse's mouth in that when he's with us here. And I think the horse is in it's in the barn.
In the barn. So we go out to a score hotline brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa app today is where we find Cubs left-hander Matthew Boyd. Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Really appreciate you joining us this morning. Congratulations on getting into the postseason and surviving that celebration and everything that you have accomplished this year. That may have been at the top of the list. That was some party.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, to get to do that is it's one of those things that's been just a long time coming. And it's cool to think of the journey that we've been on from starting in February. A little earlier because we were getting ready for our Tokyo trip, and then to get to pop champagne knowing that, okay, we've punched a ticket for the next step. The job's not done, but all that hard work that we've put in together, you know, over this past year, it's fun to celebrate it.
Well, Matthew, Bruce and I were just discussing the kind of year that you have had and the remarkable consistency that you have offered the Cubs. And as we sit here, obviously the context, as I just described, 174 in a third innings is the highest output for you since 2019 and the second highest of your career. So enough of us kind of discussing what that toll has meant to your arm and how tired you may or may not be. How would you describe the way that you're heading into October and what that innings total has toll it's taken on your body?
Physically I feel great, and that's been such a blessing. It's nothing out of the ordinary in terms of where you're at this point in the season, where everybody is, but physically I feel great. My elbow, the part that's been operated on and whatnot over the years, has felt stronger than it ever has, and I think that's just such a blessing. The training staff has done a great job. We had a great plan going in. You know, I think a lot of credit goes to Craig and Tommy too. They've done so many times this year that they've, you know, my pitch count maybe would say I could easily kept going, but they pulled me just to, for whatever the reason, whether we had a lead or, you know, whether we had a fresh bullpen. I think they said something like I've only thrown 95 pitches once this year. My average is in the 80s. So it's one of those things where they've had a great plan. We've communicated. The training staff's been awesome. It's been a group effort, and it's why I feel really good right now, and you know, excited and healthy to go, you know, do my part to help bring a championship to Chicago over the next month.
So, Matt, first of all, thanks again for joining us. And I guess the question I would ask you is, I'm going to preface it by saying you've spoiled everybody to the point where they thought you were a machine. You're a human being, not a machine. So you're going to have outings that don't look the same. But so many of your outings have looked the same and were so consistent that I think when you don't have those, people say, what's up? What do you say? How do you respond to that?
Pitching is really hard. And there are so many variables that are outside of your control when you pitch. Sometimes you're sharp out there and you have a great outing. Sometimes you're not sharp and you still have a great outing. There's every other scenario in between. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, I hold myself to a high standard and I want to chase, I want to have amazing results on the field. But when you chase results, it's a slippery slope because of all those different variables. You need to have a different measure of success, and that's process, that's going out there and pitching and reading swings and whatever that may be for each individual person. And this last start I wasn't as sharp as I wanted to be. Sometimes that happens, you know. It's been a blessing in disguise. You're in the consistency of rolling week in, week out. Sometimes there's touch points, you know, there's thought processes, there's things that were an emphasis early in the year that maybe slide away from being at the forefront just because things have been going good. And when you have an outing like I did against Pittsburgh, where I only end up getting three innings, you know, it's sometimes more of a, man, I can do this, this, and this better. And that hasn't been that's something that maybe I haven't put as much thought to recently, and I really need to. So the team picked me up that day, and a lot of good has come from it. And, you know, now we're just doing exactly what we do. We prepare for the next one. That'll be next week. And then after that, you know, those days will take care of themselves when the playoffs roll around.
When working for a manager who's a scientist like Craig Counsell is, does it help you develop a mentality of feeling calm about whether you're great or not, or as you put it, not chasing results, just being the best pitcher you can be on that day? Is there some good feeling, positive feeling about the fact that he looks at things in, we're not worried about what you did yesterday or next week, just get us one more inning, even if you're not pitching well? Does that type of mentality help a professional player like yourself?
You know, I'd say, yeah, Craig's mentality of just understanding and looking at the greater, you know, just at the whole scope, saying like, I mean, we're all humans, and there's layers of that, you know, when it comes to competing and whatnot. I think Craig does a great job of putting us in a position to have success. And he, as the manager, has a larger scope of that, you know, than we do. You know, we just want to go, and as a player, we just want to go. And we want to get the job done. We want to do more. He's got that larger view of saying, hey, like, I want him to have that same mentality in October. I want him to have that same feeling, same, you know, healthiness, level of health, you know, for the course of not only 6 months, but 7 months, and so on and so forth. We could have millions of examples of that. While also realizing that, like, hey, you know, we are all human. And if we were a machine, it'd be, you know, easy to just punch in the results and then that'd be it. We wouldn't play, right? But, you know, we're all in this together. We're all fighting hard. And that's the cool part about Craig, is he's been in our shoes and he knows that. So he's played on world championship teams. He's been on all sides of the spectrum on the roster. He knows what it's like to be a player, and, you know, he does it. He uses his experience and to help bring out the best in us every day, and that's really special.
We're talking with Cubs All-Star pitcher Matthew Boyd here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Matthew, so you know how it works. We have all these conversations. It's so much fun to consider who the Cubs are going to start in the playoffs, game one, game two, game three, whatever the case may be. And certainly you have had as strong of a season to make your bid for game one or game two. And I just wonder, when it comes to these kinds of conversations, do you have a preference? Are you consulted, and how involved you might be in determining what might be the best spot for you?
I mean, it really doesn't matter to me. I'd be lying that, you know, and I know if you went down the roster and asked anybody, everybody wants to start the first game, but that doesn't trump everybody wanting to win a World Series. And, you know, when it comes down to those sort of things, it's like, you just do what's best for the team. And when your name is called, you go like crazy. And I know personally for me, and I know I could speak for the other starters on the staff, it's like, we're just ready to do what we can do to win a World Series. And that's what it comes down to. And it's like, we know what we're going to, like, for me, I know what I'm going to do when that ball's in my hand. I know exactly what I'm going to do. And whatever day that is, perfect. For however long that is, you know, that those are decisions that I don't need to concern myself with, because my sole purpose is just to go out there and get outs. And when Craig tells me that's enough, then I'll hand it to the next guy and he'll go do his job. And it's that kind of mentality that is what elevates you. You know, it's what brings out the best. It's what, you know, regardless of what happened the pitch before, the night before, the game before, you can go out there and put your best foot forward and help your team try to win. And, you know, that's what we've done across the board as a team. And it's why we're, you know, closing in on 90 wins here with a week to go.
Taking that a step further, Matt, is the idea that the Cubs brought in a lot of quality people beyond their baseball skills, like yourself. I remember the second conversation with you in spring training, you knew all the reporters' names. You knew all your teammates within a tremendously short period of time. So the quality of the individuals on this team, how much does that have to do with the resiliency and the communication to be able to get through the bad times, come back, and be there for each other?
I mean, I think it goes leaps and bounds. We care about each other. You know, we care about each other. We care about the guy next to us. We care about our collective success, but our individual success. We care about all those things. And that is, I mean, really special. It's not like that in every clubhouse. We have a really special group, but it also, I think that level of professionalism, that level of caring is also why, like, you can endure a hard time and then bounce back and, you know, you'll have the success you're having, you know, and you can, you know, the season's going to throw at you wrenches in every capacity, whether it's on the field, off the field, performance, you name it. The ability to, you know, take the helm during those storms, you know, turn into the storm, not turn away from it, and get better is what not only defies success on the field, but, like, it also brings you closer to the other team as a team. And you know, we've had our share of those individually, collectively, and it's really brought us closer together, you know? And I think that's a really strong quality of this team is that resiliency. And it's one of those things that it's hard to quantify, but it's special about this group.
Last thing I have for you, Matt, and really appreciate your time this morning, is that one of the coolest moments this season was your first start at Wrigley Field. And you mentioned how much it meant to your family. You referenced your father and your late grandfather and what it meant to your late grandfather as a Cub fan, and just wearing the uniform. And I think it was even against the Padres. And so that was a special moment in your first start. And I just wonder if you've allowed yourself to consider what it would mean to wear that same uniform on that same mound in a playoff setting, what that atmosphere might be like and what those emotions would be like, and how that would be to harness all of that into focusing on getting hitters out.
It's I have thought of it. And when I and I it's fun to let yourself go there and then, you know, bring it back to the present, you know, but and know what the job is at hand. But when I do think about that, I do think about home games at Wrigley Field, getting to toe up that rubber in front of the fans. I have chills, goosebumps all over right now, just saying those words and you know, letting my mind go there. And it's one of those things that is I don't take lightly. I'm immensely grateful that I know I'm going to be wearing a postseason uniform and playing postseason games for the Cubs, you know, Lord willing, right? We're a week away, you know, and hopefully we don't know what's going to happen between now and then. I hope I'm upright.
Yes,
you know,
we
no
do.
One knows what
yes, we do.
Holds, but, you know, but like just the thought of that is special. And to think about what that would mean for my grandfather, it would mean the world to him. Probably wouldn't talk to him until after it's all said and done and we're holding up that trophy, because he'd be he'd put all his emotions out on the phone, and good or bad, and you know, probably wouldn't be the best to listen to over the course of October. But you know, it would be so special, and it will be very special. We're all excited about that. You know, you get to play postseason baseball in front of the best fans in baseball and for one of the most historic special organizations. And that in and of itself is special. You throw all the personal aspects of it, man, just overwhelmed with gratitude. And yeah, it will be fun. There's a job to do before then, though. And, you know, it starts tonight. And we're going to continue to do that. And that day will come when it's supposed to come, and we'll handle that.
You talk about teammates, and again, David and I appreciate your time. We're going to let you go. But you talk about teammates. Who is the funniest, most inappropriate guy on the team? Is it Turner or is it Tyone?
Inappropriate. Oh, man. Turner is
funniest, inappropriate.
You know, JT's pretty funny. I think it comes with age. You realize it's one of those things where there's no time to stress about anything. It's just time to have a good time and enjoy the moment and prepare yourself for a win. And he does keep things pretty light in the clubhouse for a variety of reasons. And he is special in that sense. So I'd go with JT.
Well, you've had plenty of great moments yourself, Matt Boyd. I really appreciate your time this morning, and may they keep coming in the month of October. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Matthew Boyd, Cubs left-hander, game one or two starter in all likelihood for the Cubs against...
Or game three.
...the Padres. Perhaps. We don't talk about game three, though. We might not need game three.
Scared of game three?
No, I'd pitch him game two. I would pitch him in the second game.
You're playing a good team with the Padres.
Yes, you are. There's no doubt. There's no slouch. That bullpen is for real, and they're on display this weekend at Wright Field. If you want to get an early scouting report on the team, the Cubs in all likelihood will be playing... a week from Tuesday, back at Wrigley Field, September 30th. That'd be game one of the wild card series.
We are going to investigate what else is going on in baseball, take a deeper dive with our friend Steve Stone into the White Sox next, about what is next for the White Sox moving forward.
Don't go anywhere. Plenty of baseball talk left until 11 o'clock. Stoney joins us next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two balls and a strike. It's Vargas in the air to left field. Going back is Laureano looking up, and it is gone! Cue the fireworks here on Friday night because the Sox get on the board first. A two-run shot by Miguel Vargas, his 15th of the season. And you gotta love this early lead in Chicago.
That gives you an idea how strong Vargas is because there is the slider. And the Sox have the early lead.
Thank you, CHSN, for that highlight from last night's White Sox victory over the San Diego Padres. More baseball talk later today on The Score, 2-5, as Matt Spiegel hosts a special edition of Hit and Run right here on The Score. They'll break down the Cubs' playoff berth and possibilities, look ahead to the postseason. All today, 2-5 on The Score in the Odyssey app, brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Time now to go out to our Score hotline, brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa app today. CHSN Sox analyst Steve Stone, friend of the program, great asset to The Score. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine. Things are winding down to this 2025 season. The Sox are playing some in-and-out baseball, but much better baseball than they played early in the season. So it's nice to see the progress of a lot of young guys who they're in their first year. However, at this point of the season, they're really not rookies anymore. They've played pretty much a full season, and they've started to understand what the major leagues is all about.
Let's start with last night, because I think it was a very interesting game from a couple different perspectives. Number one, the Padres are in town, and the Cubs may get a look at them in the wild card series. And Davis Martin did a nice job against that lineup. What did he do specifically, Steve, to maybe get through that game? And what has he done over the course of the season to earn the confidence that he can be a guy you count on going into next year?
Well, I think that the Sox really like the stuff consistently from Davis. And when he's around the plate, and this is, it sounds like a continuous philosophy with pitching, but when you're around the plate a lot, it forces the hitter to swing early in the count, which means you're going to get ahead. And I think that's really the case. When Davis pitches well, like most other pitchers, if you're ahead, you're setting up defensive at-bats. If you start out throwing ball one, ball two, you probably have a problem because you're going to have to make, you're going to have to use too much of the strike zone to come back in and get that count even again. And more times than not, that's when you get hit. So when Davis is ahead, his stuff is good enough. And I mean, all of his stuff, he's got pretty good. I think he's got some plus pitches. And I think that they like the step that he made from spring training till this, you know, till the season started. I think they're looking forward to the progress that he can make heading into next season. I think he is, he's one of those guys who they're counting on to fill up one of those spots in the rotation. But, of course, as we know, it'll depend on the acquisitions during the wintertime and what happens during the spring.
Steve, like David said, yesterday was, to me, there was a microcosm of really good things and some really not good things that they have to clean up as far as understanding the game. You saw Vargas trying to advance on a ball that was blocked by the catcher and thrown out at third base. Eventually, he would have scored. You saw Martin, as good as he was, ignore a runner at second base, go to third, and that runner scored. You saw a rundown by the White Sox that was botched to the point where they tagged the guy out, but the base runner ended up at second base and scoring. So it's easy to pick certain games apart. There were a lot of positives out of yesterday, but as a whole, what are your thoughts about the improvement of the White Sox and where they still have to go?
Well, I think there's a lot of room for improvement, certainly. And one of the things that I know this has a tendency to drive me a bit crazy, and I think for whatever reason the Sox have chosen to ignore a lot of these things, and that is base runners. I can't tell you how many times of recent vintage we've seen We've seen catchers not even throw the ball because the base runner has such a good jump that there's no reason to throw it. The only thing you can get yourself into is more trouble if you do. But that's, for some reason, the Sox have decided they don't want to look at base runners all that often. And because of that, it's in everybody's advanced scouting report that when you get on base against this particular incarnation of the team, then you just take off because more times than not, they're not going to be paying much attention to it. So for whatever reason, I think that's been a problem. But I don't think that's a big ask to be able to get that a whole lot better. I think hopefully they will do that because you see it. We talk about it all the time, guys. This game is won or lost 90 feet at a time. If you take the 90 feet, you got a good chance to win the game. If you give up the 90 feet, you got a better chance to lose the game. And I think giving up those 90 feet stolen bases at a time have done in the Sox in a few different areas. So they've chosen not to do as much emphasis on that. I think maybe that will go away this winter. Maybe they'll take a look at that. But that's one of the areas they have to advance in. And also just execution, whether it's defensive or offensive execution. I think that's something that good teams do inherently, and other teams are either still working on or they're not doing it as well as they possibly could. And when you do that, what's going to happen is you make a combination. This is what's plagued the Sox a lot this year. It's a combination of lack of execution on both sides of the baseball, but then also if you don't have an official closer and an official setup man, I mean, guys that you designate, you're going to be there every day, I'm going to hand you the ball late, you're going to get some outs. If you don't have those guys, it becomes difficult out of the bullpen. And if you don't have those guys, if you don't have the assigned setup men and closers, what's going to happen is you're going to lose a lot of 1- and 2-run games. And I think it's no coincidence that the Sox are one of the worst in baseball at 1- and 2-run game losses. And that's something, if they want to get into contention, and I think this team has some of the bare bones of a foundation, I believe that they have to shore up those areas of the game.
Those are great points. I was watching Wednesday just aghast at how the Orioles stole 7 bases, and it was like the White Sox just could not stop all of that. And it's unfortunate for the catchers, who are two of the brightest spots on this young team with Edgar Caro and Kyle Teal. And Steve, I just wonder, when you look at the catchers, it's about the pitchers holding them on, and all of a sudden, like as you say, you're paying more attention to that aspect of the running game by opponents. But in terms of Teal and Caro and dividing their responsibilities moving forward, what do you think that we can expect? Are they going to continue to share time? Is Teal maybe in line for a position change? I think there are a lot of possibilities when you have talent like those two have.
Well, there's no doubt that what has been established with Edgar Caro is if you take a fairly big secondary lead, there's a good chance you're going to get picked off. And he's got a very quick delivery. He is fearless as far as throwing on the bases. And that's all well and good because that's one aspect of containing a running game, which is either picking guys off, holding them close, whatever the case may be. But what they do have to work on is it's a simple philosophy. It's called looking at the base runner. If you look at them and then they take off, you can step off and you get them out. If you're not looking at them and they take off, you give up a stolen base, which is, you know, I hearken back to the 6 they gave up against the Cubs and the 7 they gave up against Baltimore. I don't think that's a recipe for winning baseball. There are some teams who do shut down running games, and I don't think the blame is on the catchers necessarily in this aspect. I think the pitchers have allowed the leads to be a little too much. They many times are not looking at the runner, so when he takes off, they can't see it. And then you see the catcher just put basically the ball in his back pocket because there's nothing else he can do about it. So I don't think much of the blame goes to the catchers here. Maybe let's assign it 70-30 if we're going to assign blame on one side or the other. But there are some teams who shut down the running game. So if you don't know how to do it yourself, well, then ask somebody from that other team how they did it. And maybe you can figure this out, because I don't think that you can be in contention giving up 5, 6, 7 stolen bases a game.
I want to talk about your career a little bit. It's been a famous and fabulous one. And the good news we heard yesterday from Brooks Boyer, who's in charge of such things, is that he expects you back again next year. Talk about the passion that you still have for the game, Steve, and what still motivates you to come out there and inform people every day.
Well, there's a couple of different things that go into that, Bruce, and one is the fact that this is such an infinitely complex game. And there's so many aspects to it that it becomes, at least to me, fascinating. And I think it's a wonderful game because of that. We're taking a look at some of the greatest athletes in the world, and they're involved with a sport that I think has the most difficult aspect of any sport, and that is trying to hit a round baseball with a round baseball bat, essentially. And it's very difficult to do because there's a fear factor. You don't know if this one's going to hit you in the ear or going to be on the outside corner with a little break to it. So to me, looking at the game of baseball, it looks simplistic when you look at it just on the surface. It's a fairly easy game. Guy hits a ground ball to short, he throws to first, you're out, that's good. Hits a fly ball to the outfield, he catches it, you're out, that's also good. But what a lot of fans don't realize until they get into the game is how complex the game can be with shifting and how you put players in a certain position so that more times than not the baseball is going to come to them. That's presupposing the pitcher is going to be able to execute and make the pitch you think he can make. And so consequently, you bundle it all together. And to me, going to the park every day and having a chance to see something you've never seen before in your whole life makes this game really intriguing. And as long as I love it, and I still do, I will continue to do it. So Jerry was kind enough to sign me to a long-term deal. I should be around a great deal of time going forward. I look at the time that went, and I look back and I think, how did you make it 56 years? And I realize that there's still many times ahead. So it's the love of the game more than anything else that brings me back. And I still find it fascinating. It's exciting when it's really good and you're watching a team that really knows how to execute actually do that. It looks like a wonderfully coordinated effort between nine guys who seem to know what they're doing. And other times you see these guys not able to execute and you see why other teams win and the team that you would like to win doesn't. And it's pretty easy to understand, and it's called execution on both sides of the ball.
Well, we're the lucky ones, Steve, and it's a privilege to have you every night there for Sox games and also here on the station and be your friend and colleague. So thank you for all those years, and I'm glad there's many more to come. Let's talk about this offseason before we let you go. The sure. White Sox general manager Chris Getz spoke on Wednesday just about the plans, and I understand it's maybe understandably vague where the White Sox are in their development. You don't know if it's going to be an active free agent offseason. I doubt that it will be, but if you were to address how the White Sox should approach this offseason, what would be your top priorities, and how close do you think they are before they really get into the free agent market?
Well, I think there's one thing looming ahead, and that's a 2027 season. And nobody really knows if there will be baseball yet or if there's going to be a work stoppage because nobody knows what the collective bargaining agreement is going to look like. I know the owners, to a certain extent, and some of the people who are involved on management side have said that it's time that baseball get a salary cap. And, of course, the players from their aspect of it, don't want a salary cap because they've never had one, yet baseball is the only major sport without a cap. I think that that's what the owners will go after, and then we'll have to see how this is worked out between the players union and the owners. And there's a lot of people that feel that there might be a stoppage in play. I don't know for how long, or I don't know if that's even going to be the case. I do know that some of the times these collective bargaining negotiations get contentious, and a lot of times they do because you have two groups pulling in separate directions. But realistically, they have to work this out together because nobody wants to see baseball lost for a whole year. Certainly, we've seen that. We've seen that a time or two. It's not good for the game. And personally, I'm for anything that is good for the game. And so I don't know how it's going to work out. I do know that there's a possibility that we could see a stoppage. That will take some teams who don't have all the money in the world to spend and make them hesitate before making big investments into that free agent market when there might not be a full season in 2027. Nobody really knows at this point. We'll have to see how the negotiations go. But I think that's one of the things that every team takes into consideration, especially those that don't have the huge revenues coming in, you know, teams like the Dodgers or the Mets to a certain extent. San Diego is one of those teams, and Texas for a while was one of those teams. Teams that seemingly have unlimited resources and can spend wherever they want to. But there is some some danger ahead as far as the work stoppage is concerned, and I think some people are waiting to see just exactly which direction that's going to go in, and I can't tell you which way the Sox are going to do it. But one of the things that I would think about, boys, is I would think about adding some power if they could. Used to be pitching was the one thing that you always wanted to add, and to a certain extent that's the case. But the toughest thing to add is power from either side of the plate, but specifically left-handed power. I think they would like to address that. I think they'd like to address that bullpen. By and large, it's been pretty good. Mike Vassell has been terrific. Steven Wilson has been very good at times. So there are the bare bones of a foundation of a bullpen. They just have to round it out, and we'll see how that plays out. But I would address the bullpen aspect. I would certainly address power if I could. And I would watch these young players, which to a certain extent are very exciting. I would watch them develop, give them every opportunity to understand this game. And I think, again, looking at some of these young guys, there's some hope. Last year going to this year, you couldn't envision all of these young guys coming up and contributing. But now we've seen some of these young guys and what they can do, and I anxiously look forward to watching the next step on a lot of these guys who have so much promise.
Steve, thank you so much for another terrific season in the booth. Look forward to talking to you as we approach what the White Sox will do in the offseason. Have a great weekend.
Terrific, guys. Have a great show, and I'll talk to you down the road. And it's been fun to work with both of you, and thank you both for all the kind words.
Steve Stone. You bet, buddy.
Yep, you bet. White Sox analyst for CHSN. Good news, he's coming back. It was announced on Friday that John Schifrin and Steve Stone being back in the CHSN booth for another year. Bruce, when we come back, we have to wrap things up, but look at what is developing in the American League. A lot of good pennant races down the stretch. The final week will be full of suspense.
And a dubious record that will be held on to moving forward in Chicago.
I love when you use the word dubious. Big words from Bruce. More on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm so proud of this team. You know, every guy here. Don't let the Cubs get so proud. Like,
welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Danny Plencia.
Danny Plencia.
Yeah, he's still partying, right? He just took the party to Des Moines.
Yeah, get that party on the field.
Pitching for the Iowa Cubs, part of his road back to the Cubs.
They need that 102 back.
They need him. They need him in the bullpen. The bullpen roster.
Not the one that went off Josh Bell's bat either.
No, they need him in the bullpen. The playoff roster will be set in a week from now. That's a fun discussion. We can talk about it all week here on The Score. And speaking of next week, this Thursday, join The Score and Budweiser live from 2 to 6 at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. Raheemy Harrison Grody will be live at a special time of 2 to 6. Spiegel and Holmes are 10 to 2 that day before heading to Vegas. You can register a special prizing from Budweiser. Say hello to the gang before the Cubs game Thursday at 2 at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. All brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you.
So the honor of having the worst record ever in Major League Baseball history still remains with the White Sox. The Colorado Rockies won their 42nd game yesterday.
Darn it.
They're no longer tied for the worst record.
There was a time where I thought
history.
That was going to be a lock. The Rockies have turned things around a little bit, relatively
Come
speaking.
Come on. They won 42 games.
But
don't use turnaround in the Rockies in the same
At one
sense.
Point, I thought 35 looked ambitious. But
turn it around.
They turn things around. Well, that's like, in some ways, that's like celebrating a 100-loss season even though the White Sox will be the most improved team in baseball, they're still standing at 100
we've
losses.
We've had enough time all year explaining that the White Sox are going to finish 20 games better than last year.
Yep.
And is that a good sign? Is that something to celebrate? Will they not lose 100 games? They're still a bad team.
Still a bad team. We have to watch how much we celebrate.
So, again, without burying them, it's a bad, very bad team.
I wouldn't go all Daniel Palencia on the celebration in terms of what the White Sox have accomplished this year.
The White Sox have taken a step forward, showing you some talent that's worthwhile looking at, okay?
Right.
So that's
true.
And they're more importantly, the belief in Chris Getz and the people around him that they can identify talent.
That's good.
Develop talent.
Muted celebration.
Get it there, hire a good young manager who seems to know what he's doing.
Okay.
Getting the best out of what he had this year.
I think that's in moderation. You want to have a muted celebration. You don't want to go full Palencia. I think that's going to be like a term we use to apply to
you've already created
celebrations.
It's your creation.
The full Palencia. You don't want to Palencia your way into the offseason if you're the White Sox. All right, so Bruce, you look at the American League. The Tigers are el fondo. The Blue Jays are holding on to a 3-game lead in the East against the Yankees. And in the West might be the best race of them all, the Mariners and the Astros. The Mariners hold a 1-game lead, the big dumper doing his things. That's fun in the American League.
The Cleveland Guardians are the story right now.
Right now they are.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they have 3 games left with Detroit. Okay, so the fate is in their hands, right? They can turn this around. Detroit, if they continue to lose, could not only lose the division title, but be out of the playoffs.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy based on how this season has gone? All right, so look ahead this week in Cubdom. What is the big thing to keep an eye on? Kyle Tucker's return is imminent. What do you look at when you watch the Cubs?
So Tucker, Palencia, 1 and 2.
Okay.
And then how are they lining up the rotation for the playoffs? Is it Horton? Is it Boyd? Is it Imanaga? If one of them is not pitching in games 1 and 2, can they come into the bullpen in game two, if they're in an elimination game?
Do me a favor. When you're doing all that great work at Marquee, and you had a great week at Marquee, Bruce, if you see Billy Hamilton, and you're going to have to see him, he moves fast, but if you spot Billy Hamilton sneaking into Wrigley, let me know.
Some of our outdoor sources will be all over that.
If he's out of the way, I would like to see him in a Major League uniform in a game before the playoffs. I wouldn't want his debut to come against the Padres.
We have people to thank, as usual. Sean Sears' job, terrifically done. You, David, always a pleasure being with you on Saturday. Matt Boyd is Chicago Cubs. Steve Stone, our friend from the White Sox, joining us as well. I'm out to watch the Padres try to lower the magic number for the Cubs again, because they're not doing it for themselves.
What a fun show this was this morning. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And again, Sean Sears, terrific job keeping us going behind the glass. Steve Stone, Matt Boyd, great guests. Bruce, a lot of fun talking with you. We got a big week ahead. The fun is just beginning on the north side. The Cubs back here against the Reds tonight. You've got the White Sox at the rate. You've got the Bears tomorrow at home against the Cowboys.
And more importantly, as we go off, Steve Rosenblum will be in your face immediately.
He's going to be right here. And though, stay tuned for a special hit and run, 2-5 with Matt Spiegel. Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.